answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You can't make sense out of where the Democrat Party is today. CNN had a poll out that showed that only 26% of the Democrat Party is proud of the America today. And I'm going, what? I wake up every single day and think I am the luckiest man in the world to be born in this country. But at the same time, there's a lot of lucky people that have immigrated to this country legally and have been very successful because there is a legal process we have to do it. But when you don't respect our laws when you're coming in, how do we expect you to respect the laws when you're living here as well? And we have one person that dies at the hands of an illegal is one too many. Just in Tennessee, we've had 41 deaths over the last year.
41 deaths in Tennessee caused by illegals. Now, could it have been an accident in some cases? Not just murder. It could have been. But the bottom line is, if that illegal had not been in the country, that particular accident would not have happened. If it's murder, again, if that particular person had not been in our country, the murder wouldn't have happened. That was Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen talking about how valuable it is to be in this country and how Americans should appreciate it. He referenced a survey that came out recently. 29% of those surveyed, listing themselves as Democrat, say they love the country. That meant 70-plus percent don't really love our country. 90% of the Republicans surveyed said they love our country. There are 10% so-called Republicans who don't. Among independents, the number is closer to 60-plus percent who love their country. Who will say that? The issue with the Democrats, in many cases, is based upon who is in the White House. Can you not grasp the concept the nation is bigger than any single man or whoever is in the White House at the time? When Joe Biden was in the White House, I did not have loss of faith and belief in my country. I continued to hold it strong. And with Obama, it's just because I don't get the candidate I want in the White House doesn't mean I lose faith in my country and love of my country. If you're watching, by the way, on Zoom, because we do put the program on live stream when we're on the air, like right now, and you can go to Newstalk STL Rumble and see it. Larry Connors USA Rumble. Larry Connors USA Facebook. You notice the cap I'm wearing? I mentioned this in the first hour. I'm going to give you a snippet of what I said then. I got this cap last night by a relative of Senator Mark Schmidt. In this case, it was his cousin, Will Smith, who has a company called OurTrueGod.com, OurTrueGod.com. And he told me that they are the biggest provider in the U.S. of faith and loyal support for America, patriotic support in the nation. This is one example of what they provide. I told him, I said, thank you for giving it to me. I'm going to wear it when I go to the World Series of Poker, which will be coming up later this month. So you can go, if you're watching right now, you can pull up, of course, are you listening? You can go to the Zoom Rumble and get it, or make sure you pull up the podcast later and see exactly what I'm wearing. But every message he has on his apparel pushes faith and patriotism. Welcome to Larry Connors USA, our second hour. We offer you news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each hour with more information than you have when we begin that hour. Coming up later in this hour, Dr. Fake, Fauci, under fire. Good. Also, the difficult battle to correct homelessness. California, not a great example, and yet I've got a guest that says there are ways, and we have proven it. We have historical documents that you can turn around homelessness if you're making the right efforts. I don't think they care in California, unless it's election time. And that's why you got L.A. Mayor Bass running around claiming, give me four more years, I can correct the homelessness. You've had 4 years and you've done nothing. But there will be those out there that are willing to go ahead and give her a vote. And also, in this hour, later, a piece written for the Epoch Times by Makah Kailas. I interviewed people who came back from death. They all had a similar message. What was the message? That's still to come in this hour. In the meantime, as you well know, we're constantly battling fraud in our nation on a constant basis. And speaking of that, one of the centers of fraud has been Minnesota, as you well know. Take note of this. Minnesota Governor Walz, his approval rating in his state has dropped to a level below President Trump. At the state's top executive continues to face blowback from the massive fraud scandal on his watch. Walz is leaving office in January, announcing he will not run for re-election. His approval rating of 39% in the state, disapproval rating of 53%, 8% not sure. You're not sure? What kind of idiot are you? A poll conducted by Mason-Dixon Polling and Strategy. And a lot of it has to do with all the fraud that took place under his watch, the Democrat control. White House spokesman and advisor Stephen Miller on the fraud that is happening in our nation.
I think you can all agree that this is the fastest in history that a government task force has traveled from creation to action. Your typical lead time is going to be a year of meetings before anything happens, and that's if you're lucky. And within weeks of this task force being established, we've seen the largest ever slate of indictments, recovered funds, search warrants, raids, seizures, investigations, and new legal actions to stop, disrupt, and prevent fraud. What we've learned, which is not surprising to those of us who've spent some time in this area, is that fraud is every bit as bad as President Trump said it was, and even worse.
Yeah.
So in other words, everything we found either confirms our worst fears or exceeds them. That's the bad news. The good news is that the best team in government under the leadership of Vice President Vance has been assembled to deal with it.
And I will tell you this, not all the fraud is in blue states and blue cities. And yes, some of it happens in red states and red cities carried out by so-called Republicans. They're defrauding our American people. That makes them criminal in my mind. Town Hall columnist Dustin George, posted on X, reference how Tim Walz is standing with all the fraud that's been unveiled so far on his watch. He says, Tim Walz has a lower approval rating than President Trump in deep blue Minnesota right now. That's how toxic fraud is for the Democrats. And once again, Stephen Miller says, American people are being fleeced.
All of the systems in our country, whether you're talking about voting, whether you're talking about entitlements, whether you're talking about welfare benefits, were set up based on the honor system. They're set up based on the idea that you could trust the average person through their own morality to abide by the rules and comply with the law. And so the way most welfare works in most states and most places is we take your word for it. If you thought a piece of paper and you say your kids are hungry, you are going to get food stamps. We don't check as a country if you even have kids. The fact is basic as that. We don't even check if you even have children. You will just start getting the checks. And so what's happened to our country is we became a society, as you've seen with the Somali refugee problem in Minnesota, where you have a large number of people that are not following the honor system. They're not playing by the rules. They're not abiding by our laws. And the amount that has been fleeced from us is in the hundreds of billions of dollars. I believe, based on what I've seen and what I've heard, is that we could balance the federal budget if the only dollars that went out of the Treasury
wow.
went to individuals who were properly, lawfully, correctly eligible to receive them.
Now, I don't know that for a fact, but that's Stephen Miller's assessment. And I'll take a moment here. Somebody commented the other day, said, Larry, listening to you, you sound always so excited and engaged and pushing forward. I am. I love doing this. And I am like a bull out of the gate every day. And I got so much to cover, I just keep pushing forward. You have to hold on to get through the program or pull it up the podcast later and go back over what you missed and then share it. I had a commentary running earlier this week about the opening of the Obama Blisk, the presidential library. It's not a presidential library. It has none of his documents and so forth in it. It's called a presidential center. And I got to tell you, if you look at the picture of it, it looks absolutely ugly, totally ugly. Eight stories of ugly standing in South Chicago. And to get it put on that land, they had to basically displace and hurt the poor blacks and other minorities living around that area. Either forced from their homes and are now rent increases, tax increases, and they're worried about the area being gentrified. That means younger people with more money coming in and taking over their areas, which will be happening. So they had the ceremony officially yesterday. And Valerie Jarrett, former senior advisor to Obama when he was president, is CEO of the Obama Foundation. And she kicks things off by saying this: we'd also like to take a moment to recognize the original inhabitants on the land upon which we gathered. She's not talking about Chicago residents that got displaced. She was talking about Indian tribes. She is acknowledging on behalf of the Democrats, we have built it on land we took from the Indians. How many times have we heard from the left, there is no territory in the U.S. that belongs to America. It is all the American Indian. They don't have any problem doing it in declaring and honoring and opening this presidential center. You had President Obama, Michelle, welcoming Hollywood celebrities. Former presidents among the celebrities, Bruce Springsteen, Stevie Wonder, U2, Bono. And they had announced how great everything was going to be. Barack was a Chicago implant landing on the city's south side. Said, our story begins on the south side for me. But you know what? Here's something else that's going on. DEI was pushed at every stage on the construction project. You had to meet DEI requirements. And a lot of minority contractors were hired because of that. But they're not getting paid. They had been stiffed by the Obama Center and administration. They're not getting their money. Some are going to have to declare bankruptcy. So much for helping DEI, right? And then they want to stand there and praise what they have built. I would say shame on them. But they have no shame. They celebrate and toast with champagne. All right, back to the Iran deal and the detractors, including Republicans. But first, listen to Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt.
President of the United States, President Trump, was very clear from the get-go what the mission here was, which was to ensure that Iran would never have a nuclear weapon. They have no ability to do that, and they're signing on the dotted line now for the first time that they're not going to do that. And we don't need to trust them. We just need to verify that, right? So effectively, President knocked out their military capability. Their Navy's at the bottom of the sea. They have no air defense. Their nuclear program is in shambles. It's nowhere near ever being started up again. And we can always go back and mow the lawn if necessary because we've got eyes on it. So the president's provided now, through all of that action, space for diplomacy. That has always been his North Star. You know that in any situation. And he's got it right now. So there's always more things to do. We need to make sure, obviously, we're verifying all of this. But the president's pulled off something here that most experts 6 months ago wouldn't have thought were possible, and I think it's good for the American people.
But you've got the detractors, and that includes some Republicans. Even Senator Ted Cruz of Texas says this is probably not a good deal. Well, you know what? You're never going to get a perfect deal. I have a commentary that's been running today talking about it. We have made a deal with the devil. We don't trust the devil. We made a deal. And we're going to have some devil food cake. We're going to get a slice of it. but we may end up having to throw it all in the trash. And the word from China, now you can say Beijing is trying to stir dissent, and I don't trust China either, but here's the official word that they put out. They say this is a positive step toward regional stability, declaring that, quote, the dawn of peace has arrived. The word's from China. Again, I don't trust them either. But I also want you to understand, don't trust those who are saying U.S. dollars are going to help build Iran. Senator Tuberville of Alabama.
Of course, we've heard the president on TV from Europe, but we've also talked to Vice President Vance, and there will be no money given, no money given whatsoever. There won't even be sanctions given until they make sure that they do the right thing when it comes to the uranium. So I don't think we have to worry about that. I think President Trump's adamant that, you know, we've given way too much money away overseas at Ukraine, what, $350 billion. American taxpayers, Larry, they can't afford it. We're dead broke up here, so we got to make sure if we're going to spend any money, we spend it the right way, and it surely doesn't need to be in Iran.
Yeah, and I want to make it clear, he was not talking to Larry Connors, he's talking to Larry Kudlow. But we all got the message, didn't we? Former security advisor, deputy security advisor, Katie McFarland on the issue about American dollars.
As President Trump says, if Iran steps out of line, if they don't behave, boom, we come right back with military options. The other thing is that the money that you've mentioned, the investment funds and all that, we can see where Iran is using its money now. We couldn't do that a year ago. But the countries where it keeps a lot of its money, the Gulf Arab countries, they've opened their books to us. So if Iran says, oh, we're going to use it to build sewage plants and hospitals, but they really are going to give it to Hezbollah, we'll see it move. And then what happens? Boom, we can enforce the agreement. The difference of all the agreements anybody's ever tried to do with Iran, we have the enforcement capability now, because that armada is going no place. And we also have the enforcement capability because the Gulf Arabs, for the first time ever, they usually sit out any conflict in the Middle East. This time, they're on our side.
Good. Again, that's former Deputy National Security Advisor KT McFarland. The money will come maybe from some investors in the U.S. if the U.S. allows it. Or the Gulf states, who wants to give money to Iran, who expects anything good in return. First of all, they got to adhere to everything, and already they're backing out of a signing that was scheduled in Switzerland. Coming up, battling homelessness. And before the end of this hour, going after Dr. Fake and stories from those who died and came back and all sharing one similar story. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gesund height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. Meguiar Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Meguiar is a household name because Meguiar understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Meguiar Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. MeguiarMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, smokestack lightning.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
California Governor Newsom is trying to polish up his resume and make himself look better in every way he can as he wants to have a run for the White House. Well, he had a project that he was always proclaiming was an excellent success in dealing with homelessness, the Home Key Program. There's just been an audit released showing that California spent over the period of the investigation $3.8 billion to convert hotels, motels, offices, and other properties into lifelong subsidized shelter, quote, permanent housing. How many got housed for $3.8 billion? 13,000. I don't consider that anywhere near a success. Neither does my guest, Michelle Steeb, author of the book Answers Behind the Red Door, Battling the Homeless Epidemic, CEO of Free Up Foundation. Michelle, you guys have what you say is a proven scalable solution, and we discussed that before. So are you copying the California Newsom program? Michelle, we got you there? We had her. We'll have to reestablish with her, make sure we've got her so she can hear us. We have had Michelle Steeb on before, and again, her book, Answers Behind the Red Door, Battling the Homeless Epidemic, they do feature with the Free Up Foundation. The idea of the Free Up Foundation is to have a cost-optimized, outcome-driven, human-first approach. Not politics first, as Gavin Newsom had been doing in California. Michelle, we got you back online?
Yes, I'm here, and I'm looking forward to our discussion.
Well, I don't know if you caught the beginning. I was talking about how this audit just came out about Governor Newsom's highly touted Home Key program, $3.8 billion to convert homes, motels, offices, other properties into, quote, permanent housing, and they settled 13,000 people for that $3.8 billion. That's not the way you see it should be done.
No, and in fact, just a couple points. Right, the legislature last year there was a bill to provide to do this audit of Project Home Key, which the governor keeps calling a phenomenal success, and the legislature buried the bill. So there was an independent news organization that actually did the audit, and the findings were less than phenomenal. I can say, you know, taxpayers deserve to know the full results of what they were promised for that $3.8 billion. And like I said, they wouldn't be happy with those results, thanks to the audit done by the independent news organization.
With all due respect, Michelle, Governor Newsom, with his bright smile and gelled hair, says we're successful in dealing with the homeless.
Yeah, well, let me tell you how he defines success. So California was the only state in the nation that followed the federal government's 2013 mandate to just provide permanent housing for all the homeless. The only state in the nation to adopt that mandate was the housing first mandate was Governor Newsom and the state of California. Since then, which they did in 2016, really 2017, homelessness has gone up over 40%, and they are now home to 40% of the entire country's unsheltered population. So if that's the definition of success, I think everyone should be really wary of a governor who clearly has aspirations to run for president of the United States.
And one other example of what you're referring to, in Gardena, California, they had a travel lodge they were going to convert to helping house the homeless. It's dragged on for more than 5 years, repair estimates ranging from $50,000, nearly $3 million as it sat vacant, not getting anyone actually housed, and it's all covered in graffiti, and it looks worse than anything you'd want to live in anyway, but they think that's a success.
Yeah, they do. That's the definition of success under Housing First, that mandate. It is housed. They don't look at restored. They don't look at, does someone have an increased, better health? Does someone have an increased capacity to work? In fact, you're not required to be sober in that housing or to work ever in your lifetime. It's lifelong housing without any conditions. And again, I think we all should be wary of that being a definition of success under this governor, under any governor who decides to run for higher office or any politician.
You're again listening to Michelle Steeb, author of the book Answers Behind the Red Door, Battling for the Homeless Epidemic, also CEO of Free Up Foundation. Your premise is human first. Explain, please.
Yes. So there are often accompanying issues to homelessness, such as mental illness and addiction. About 80% of the street homeless population struggle with those diseases. They are classified by CDC as diseases of the brain. Diseases, when they go untreated, as they have under Housing First, they get worse, just like cardiovascular disease or, cancer would. And so people have gotten much sicker. Those struggling with homelessness in particular have gotten much sicker. Thankfully, this president, this administration has decided we need to move away from that mandate. It's massively failed. It's increased homelessness at the federal level by 35%. So we need to reprioritize drug and alcohol treatment, mental health counseling, trauma therapy, employment training, all of the things that will address those accompanying issues to homelessness, and do that in a transitional housing setting. And that's really the human first approach, right? Most of the homeless population, I'm talking the vast majority, 80%, they don't need lifelong housing with no conditions. They need a hand up in temporary housing until they develop the capacity to be able to afford housing on their own.
And
they need
pride.
To be participating.
And have,
yes, and have
personal pride.
Need,
have personal pride, absolutely.
Exactly, yes.
Since 2000.
Exactly right. So that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right. Since,
no, 2000, you go ahead.
since 2019, California has authorized more than $24 billion for homeless initiatives. Yet the homeless population is at a historic high of 180,000. I feel for those people, and some could be helped if they're helped properly. But the California government and Democrat leftist approach is throw money at it, throw money. Well, if the money is spent well, it could work. But there's another example here. Shangri-La Industries getting $115 million to create 500 units. Federal prosecutors say falsified bank records, financial misconduct, spending it on locations and properties and jewelry and so forth in Beverly Hills, not on the homeless.
Right. And there's been no accountability in homeless spending in California, period. The federal government just withdrew its funding of LASA, which is the Los Angeles Homeless Services Agency, which receives state money on top of federal money, which has no accountability, right? They don't know where this money went. There's been audits upon audits. of California spending as well. So part of the issue with this policy is there's no accountability at the individual level, not at the nonprofit level, such as Shangri-La Industries, not at the government level, such as the governor and Lhasa. So one of the elements of this administration's turning this around is to provide accountability, to insist on accountability at every level of the homelessness system.
And the central point is still human lives that could be turned around, have a substantial way to increase their ability and their, I would say, their wealth of life, but I don't mean that in money, as opposed to treating them like trash and just saying, well, just throw them over here for a while.
Exactly. It, hiding them away is another thing that this policy does, right? It hides them away in housing, and they deteriorate in that housing. They don't have the skills to keep that housing up, especially when they're not sober or mentally, stable. But the other impact that people don't talk about is the generational impact, right? It's, you know, the death rate amongst the homeless population is up 77% under this housing first mandate. Think about not only the lives lost, those individual lives, but the future, you know, the families that are destroyed, the future generations that are all impacted by this. The human toll, the societal toll is significant and not talked about enough.
Yeah, and children that come in the wake of that and are then living that generational welfare state approach. Michelle Steeb, CEO of Free Up Foundation. I strongly encourage you to look it up, Free Up Foundation, author of the book Answers Behind the Red Door, Battling the Homeless Epidemic. Michelle, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. God bless. You know, this homeless issue is not going to go away. And I know that some of us reach a point, you see a beggar on the street and we block them out of our sight, we turn to look away. And there are people out there that truly need help. But there are also people out there that they don't have to be there. They're just trying to sponge off of you and the others. You get accountability and you get money to where it will really help people. It can change lives. It can save lives. It will help our nation. Coming up, going after Dr. Fake.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, Susie Q. Oh, Susie Q. Oh, Susie Q. Baby, I love you. Susie Q. Like the way you walk.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Before the COVID pandemic, Dr. Fauci, as head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, provided millions in U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund dangerous gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, work which is now widely viewed as the source of the unintentional lab leak that sparked the pandemic. Now, in support of President Trump's maximum transparency mandate, today, on my final day as Director of National Intelligence, I'm releasing never-before-seen communications and documents that expose exactly how Fauci worked with politicized career leadership in the intelligence community to suppress the truth about his actions, the virus's lab leak origins, and his role in directing U.S. funding for this dangerous research that caused immeasurable harm and countless lost lives.
Outstanding. Outstanding. That is the outgoing director of National Intel, Tulsi Gabbard, declassifying a trove of documents revealing how Dr. Anthony Fake Fauci allegedly helped facilitate millions of taxpayer dollars to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And as you heard her say, that COVID-19 pandemic causing tremendous hardships and pain for many, you know that yourself. Followed by years of lies, censorship, and cover-ups. Adding the tactics used to hide the truth are straight from the deep state playbook. Politicized self-serving leaders like Dr. Fauci covering up their own wrongdoing and abuses of power, manipulating intelligence, lying to Congress, perjury charges right there, undermining a duly elected president by restricting his access to vital facts. Again, that was Tulsi Gabbard releasing those documents on her last day as director of National Intel. I want Fauci and all of those involved in this prosecuted. Not persecuted. I want them prosecuted on viable evidence. I've told you before, I support the fact of looking at weaponizing viruses and how to deal with them. Because we need to know what we can do to fight against them if a nation uses them against us. But are you listening? Are you listening? You don't send money to the Chinese to do that research for you. You're an idiot. You're basically a traitor to your own country, making us the target of whatever they develop. Now, I want Fauci held accountable at every level. I really do. I'm incensed over it. I am. In the meantime, I told you yesterday how the left continues to do things stupid. The state of California, Democrats in the state of California pushing a bill to allow minor children to divorce their parents. The bill, as I'm reading it, allows any minor residing in any residential facility to file a legal application against their parents without cause or evidence of harm. Without cause or evidence of harm. The child can petition the court to strip parents of custodial authority. You know, in some cases, it might really be better for the child to be free of parents if they're not taking care of them. But it is basically just another way to destroy our children. I got more to say on that before we wrap up this hour. But before I get to that, take note of this. You know all the noise about Graham Plattner running for Senate on the Democrat ticket in Maine. Well, Hannah Pingree, is a former Speaker of the Maine House of Representatives. She clinched the Democrat nomination in Maine's 2026 gubernatorial race. At a crowded field of challengers, they do a ranking system. She came out on top. How does that play against Plattner? Well, Plattner had endorsed another candidate, former Maine State Senator President Troy Jackson. And they've been campaigning, butting up around, going around to bars and Longshore Act locations and so forth, shipping areas, showing that we stand together. And that the claims against Plattner being a Nazi, even though he had a Nazi tattoo that he's now covered up, still trying to fight for Plattner. Well, if Plattner cannot have a candidate as a governor for him, that says his campaign is showing many cracks, let me put it that way. Maine residents will decide and then have to live with it. I want to share this with you. This is by, I hope I'm pronouncing the name correctly, Mackay Callis with the Epoch Times. I subscribe to the Epoch Times, and so does my boots on the ground correspondent Andrew in Chicago, but I had overlooked this story, but it bears sharing with you. Her article begins, "I was interviewing the third person who told me they had died when I noticed they were all saying the same thing. Their accounts of the other side differed in nearly every detail, and yet at the same time, they came away with things that were basically the same, a similar message." She's making a documentary titled Final Hours about people who came back from clinical death, known as near-death experience. She said, "By the third interview, I was not so interested in what they saw, but rather what they brought back from being on the other side. One of them was a neurosurgeon who really didn't believe in God and the hereafter. This is a neurosurgeon. In 2008, he was admitted to the emergency room. A rare bacterial meningitis, an infection in the brain. His chance of survival, 2%, 1-0 chance of recovering if he survived. They took him off the ventilator, yet he did survive." She said, "I met with him at his home in Virginia, listened to him, now in his 70s, speaking fluidly between medical neuroscience and spirituality in the same sentence. One thing he remembered that he withdrew and came back with after all of his teaching and learnings at Harvard and so forth, what he came away with the near-death experience of is, be careful of your beliefs. Recognizing that human life is not purely materialistic, life is unlimited even after death." From a non-believer making that statement after a near-death experience. She had also talked to a teenager, a young man whose heart had stopped on the operating table, what was during supposed to be a basic elbow surgery. 19 years old, in good health, except when his heart stopped. And she told him, "I died full of regret." He says, on the other side, he was approached by a figure who told him he could receive a second chance with one condition. The next time you die, you have to be ready for it. Powerful statement. Then she talked to a English major student who had been killed basically in a head-on collision in Austin. She said on the operating table she had counted down from 100, waiting for the anesthesia to hit. When suddenly consciousness left her body, she said she watched the surgery from above the table and noticed the surgeons were not alone in the room. Angels were working among them and through them. And she said one of them spoke to her plainly. You're going back and you're going to teach. She did complete her degree at University of Texas, 30 years later, still teaching. And what she brought back was a job description and a mission and a value system. For each one of these, they came back, not regardless of the experience of what they had and how they got there, they came back with a knowledge of what you need to have going forward. Again, the doctor saying, be careful of what you believe in. Life is unlimited even after death. Don't die with regret. Make sure you have things in order with people, as well as anything else, the best you can. And the teacher who was told, you're not going to die, you're going to go back and you're going to become a teacher. And 30 years later, she's still teaching. I'm selling my motorcycle. I hate to admit that I have to do it because I love riding my Harley, but I have had a vision problem occur in my lower right eye. I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm just trying to share a story with you. You're not sure what causes it. I don't think it seems to be getting any worse. But I lower right vision. If I close my left eye and look at you, it's just my right eye. I basically see you from your nose up. And last April, maybe March, out on the Harley ride through Defiance, twisting and turning curves, I was having a hard time making out the curves. The light coming through the trees with the leaves off basically at that time, or very few of them, is like a kaleidoscope, just constantly flashing in front of me. And I realized I'm not safe to ride. And we were riding at a pretty good speed. I kept up, but I knew then I thought I need to reconsider. And my girls were glad to hear this, but see, I'm not worried about dying. I'm not worried about dying. I have Jesus in my life. I'm still a sinner, but he will accept me. I know that. What I would miss in dying is life with my children and grandchildren going forward. And I don't want to be crippled up where they have to care for me. And on top of that, I don't want to go down and wipe out other bikers. So I'm having to put the Harley up for sale and walk away from it. And I walk past it every day on my way to the car. It's covered up and I got to make a decision to sell it. But I'm thinking about all the great times I've had on it. And I thought about all the great times I've had as a pilot. I'm a multi-engine commercial instrument rated pilot. But there are numerous times I have been in situations I did not plan for, either because of weather or something with a plane. And as I've related once or twice before, sometimes with one of my children, both of them, and or my wife on board. And it's not just my skill that got us through it. I'm convinced God had his hand on saving me for another day. I praise him every day and night for that. Do you praise God for each day you have? A new day is better than no day. Coming up, indoctrinating our kids to hate our country. Stephen Miller, White House advisor on what we should be teaching our children.
Children will be taught to love America. Children will be taught to be patriots. Children will be taught civic values for schools that want federal taxpayer funding. So as we close the Department of Education and we provide funding to states, we are going to make sure that these funds are not being used to promote communist ideology. For any nation to be successful, it cannot teach its children to hate themselves and to hate their country.
And that's what's happening. Indoctrinating our children to hate their country. And I pointed out earlier yesterday and again today, surveys showing that 29%+ of Democrats do not really love this country anymore. And it's because Trump is president. That's not a reason not to love your country. When Biden was in the White House, Obama in the White House, I still love our country. When I disagree with Trump on something he did or did not do, I still love our country. Our children need to be taught there is a balance there that you need to keep in mind. Unfortunately, we have too many naysayers around them, and they all glob together like a virus infiltrating our children's minds. You, the parent, you, the adult, and you, a child yourself, listening. And I know we many have children listening. Take a stand. As I pointed out yesterday, evangelist Billy Graham would throw a Bible on the floor and say, "You want something to stand on? Stand on that." All right, I'm going to detract for a moment. The PGA's 126th U.S. Open is underway at Shinnecock Hills, I should say. That's on the east end of Long Island. I was watching them play yesterday. The greens looked horrible. They had what we call poana in them, bluegrass surfacing. It changes the putts, redirects putts. It's not a good, clean green to putt on. It looked trashy. And some of the players are saying the same thing. And apparently they either overwatered or underwatered or whatever. It's a trashy-looking course the way it's being played. What a shame for our 126th U.S. Open on our 250th anniversary of our nation. Of course, in the meantime, continue to pull for USA Soccer. USA faced Venezuela earlier today. Support our country. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.